you can live a victorious life where sin is not controlling your life and you're not responding to all of your appetite every time the enemy tries to cause you to be disobedient to God. Yes, you can live a victorious, sinless life. Somebody says, nobody is sinless. I will agree with that, but you ought to be sinning less and less and less. You ought to be getting better at being sinless.
This is Jerry G. Martin. Welcome to the light of the world. Jesus Christ died and was raised up to take away the sin of the world. He came to give us eternal life. I'll be sharing some messages with you to help you to understand how you can overcome and live a victorious life through Jesus Christ. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
You had an umbilical cord to the sinful nature that kept sustaining you and feeding you all the stuff. While God separated that nature, He didn't take it out of you. He separated it, but He did not remove it. It's like your television. That television will do nothing unless it's plugged into the wall. And God unplugged that. See, a television will bring all kind of things into your life, into your mind, into your heart, and you look at it. So He unplugged it for you and said, you're able to not look at it because I broke the power of that thing. Now, see, before you were saved, you know, the enemy just would bombard you with images and everything else, and you had the remote control. How many of you come in the house sometime, television already on? Somebody else done left it on. And then you just change channels, switch, look at everything you want to look at and all that stuff. And they just talk to you. They tell you how to live on TV. All the TV shows tell you how to live, tell your children how to live. Tell them how to talk back to your parents. I ain't never seen no kids get no beat down on TV. They need to show them how to get a beat down. I mean, show the whole story. But when the Lord comes into your life, He breaks the power of that. You can plug it back up anytime you get ready, but you don't have to. See, before you got saved, the signals were just coming into you, but God broke the power of that. But you can go back in and turn it on anytime you get ready. The good news is that you don't have to. Our frailty, our weaknesses, will cause a Christian at infrequent intervals to yield to the sinful nature and to sin. But you don't have to. See, before you were saved, you didn't even have a fight with the sinful nature. Before you were saved, you didn't wrestle with the sinful nature. Whatever you wanted to do, that's what you went on and did. You wanted to party, you wanted to drink, you wanted to fight, you wanted to cuss and fuss and steal and fornicate and do all those kind of things. That was just what people do. We're just getting my groove on. What's wrong with you? I'm just doing my thing. That's why folks who are unsaved, when you talk to them, they wonder, why are you messing with me? I'm just doing my thing. But they don't know they're not doing their thing. They're doing the devil's thing. They just think it's theirs. That's how slick he is. He'll make you do his thing and think it's yours. Just doing my thing. Ain't your thing. Somebody say, it's my thing. I do what I want to do. You can't tell me who to sock it to. Ain't your thing. You just thought it was yours. If you think it was yours, stop doing it and watch the devil start talking to you. See, once you get saved now, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you begin to contend with you when you keep trying to go down that path. He said, now, you know that ain't right. You don't have the same comfort level. You don't have the same desires. He put another interest, another desire, another appetite in your life when you give your life to Jesus Christ. There's another appetite. If you haven't changed your appetite since you came forward to say you love the Lord, guess what? You probably didn't change leaders. You know, people said, I don't want to lose my friends. I didn't stop hanging out with my friends when I got saved. They stopped hanging out with me. I didn't leave them. They left me. Why? We didn't have that much in common anymore. The conversation didn't last quite as long. It was, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. How are you? He said, well, I'm all right. I was just checking on you. It wasn't say, hey, man, you holding something? How you rolling tonight? Where is it at? It wasn't all of that. It's at church. What you holding? A couple of scriptures. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. They didn't know, huh? So I had to talk to somebody who knew the language. Talk to somebody, say, yes, praise God, there is no condemnation. I'm free. So I had to start talking to other people. Don't you know that the people who got a certain commonality, we call it the like spirits, they hang together. Yeah. There's code words and things that you just throw out there and somebody pick up on it and they know you're in the same vein with them. Say, so what you holding? Hey, man, you know, a little something, something, a little something. All right. And we do that as Christians. Well, how are you doing? Somebody say, praise the Lord. You say, well, praise the Lord. Right? And then you're trying to find a little bit more whether or not y'all both got the same kind of spiritual inclinations. Because we got little code words we just throw out there, and then you know where they at. So I didn't lose my friends. I still love them. They're still dear. They're whatever, but we don't hang out together no more. And one of them said, hey, man, you can't go out to the club no more. I said, you know, I can. But I don't have an interest. It doesn't interest me. I can do it. But I don't feel like it. There's no interest. There's no draw. I have more of an interest in the house of God. I got more interest in praise. It's not the Isley Brothers no more. You know what I'm thinking? Boy, it was a good album. But I had to let him go. Well. I had to let him go. Why? Because I was listening to worship music. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all still got those Isley Brother albums. With those jumpsuits on. But I'm trying to tell you, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, something snapped. God broke that sin nature, and I snapped right away. Not only did I know it, but everybody around me knew something had changed. Didn't have the same interest. Couldn't do the same things that I used to do and do it in peace because the Holy Spirit was contending with me saying, that's not the way. You died to that. You're dead to that. He said, when you're dead to sin, what happens is when the enemy comes and try to talk to you as a dead man, they get no response from you. So let's go out and do that. A dead man doesn't say, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm with that. He's dead to that. And the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence to help you. He'll help you to walk right. He'll help you to talk right. And Paul says, how is it possible for such as we who have died off with respect to sin to live in it any longer? How is that possible? What is going on with that? What's up with that? How can the people who say they love God and Jesus Christ is in their life, how can they keep living in sin? That ain't supposed to happen. That's impossible. Something is wrong. Either they have not given their lives to Jesus Christ. That's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You show me somebody who's still governed by the sinful nature, they were never saved to begin with. The Christian has the same power over the evil nature that he has over his television set. When the enemy tries to bring something in, you just turn it off. Paul gave the instructions in the book of Ephesians, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be spirit controlled. Some people just think that the Lord wants us to be obedient and to eliminate sin out of our lives, to constrict us, to make us have a boring life. Don't want me to have any fun. I can't do what I used to do. Now listen, I want to tell you that there are benefits to living holy. It's not just, well, while you live in a sinful lifestyle, you need to cut that out. There are benefits to living holy. There are blessings to living holy. God will bless you when you walk upright before him. The Lord God is a sun and shield, and he gives grace and glory to those who walk upright before him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The scriptures are full. The whole message of this Bible is that when you are obedient, you are blessed. And when you're not, you're cursed. That's the whole message of the Bible. Beginning in Genesis, Adams, as long as you're obedient, everything rolls well for you. But once you break God's commands, things start happening that you don't have any control of in your life. There's blessings and goodness that follow you, goodness, and you can't just live like the devil and then come running up to the Lord, act like he's going to just bless you and just causes you. You ain't got that much going for you. You can't just cry out to the Lord, God, say, I'll forgive you, but you're going to take this whooping. You're going to take this whooping. God chastises those whom he loves. He'll move the hedge of protection around you and say, okay, you want to hang out with the enemy? You want to hang on his territory? Watch this. God is serious about people loving him. He wants you to love him so much to obey him. He comes and he says, and not only am I going to give you an everlasting life, but I want to give you an abundant life. And if you want to get a picture of what God says about walking upright before him, living a holy life, living a godly life, living a life of righteousness, all you have to do is look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He says this, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands. That's a tall order, because look at what he uses the word. If you fully obey, not half do it. And if you carefully follow all his commands, not some of them, not half of them, not the ones you like. If you fully obey, carefully follow all his commands, he said, the Lord will. And boy, when he talks about what he's going to do, he says this, I'll set you high above all the nations of the earth. He's talking to his folks. He said, I'll set you up. If you do all that you're going to do with your whole heart, if you give me wholehearted devotions and you walk fully in front of me, before me, I'll set you high above all the earth. And he says, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. He says, I got a lot of blessings. They're sitting on the runway waiting to take off to bless you if you obey what I tell you to do. They're sitting in the warehouse. They're ready. They got your name on it. If you can obey, I can get them to you. If you would obey, he said, I'm not trying to just constrict you and make you a robot, make you just say, well, I got to do this for the Lord and be all gloomy and whatever. God said, I got the best blessings in store for you, but I want somebody who's going to do it on their own. I want somebody who loves me enough to obey. Somebody I don't have to keep beating them across the head to say, come on, you need to come with me. You got to know where your blessings flow. He says, if you would fully obey and carefully follow all that I have commanded you, you'll be blessed in the city and you're going to be blessed in the country. He says, the fruit of your womb will be blessed and your crops will be blessed and your livestock will be blessed. He said, that's almost like saying your children's going to be blessed, your stocks are going to be blessed, your 401k is going to be blessed, your pension plan is going to be blessed, whatever you invest in is going to be blessed. God said, I know how to bless you, but I'm looking for somebody who will obey. He said, your baskets and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in, and you're going to be blessed when you go out. Now, who wouldn't want that? You're going to be blessed coming and going, God said. You go out, I'll bless you. You come in, I'll bless you. Nobody's going to mess with you. My divine protection is going to be all over you. I know how to bless you, God says. He says, your enemies will be defeated. They'll come at you from one direction. I'll send them out seven different ways when they come in to try to mess with you. That's what I do for you. God said, I will send your blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. You just love me. You just obey me. You just follow me. I know how to bless you. God says, I'll bless you in the land that I'm giving you. God said, I will establish you as a holy people. I know how to bless you. God said, I will grant you abundant prosperity. I know how to bless you. He says, I will open up the heavens and the storehouse of my bounty. I'll send rain on your land in your season, and I'll bless the work of your hands. I know how to bless you. Just walk up right before me. He says, you'll be the lender, not the borrower. You're going to have money. People are going to come to you. You're not going to have to beg anybody for anything. I know how to bless you. Just be obedient. How can you keep living in sin when you got all this coming your way? The Lord said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. The tail is wagging the dog. You don't want to be the tail. The head always tell the tail what to do. God says, I make you the head, not the tail. And the last, he said, you're always, I like this one. He said, you'll always be on top. I like the always part, because sometimes we're on top and then we're just going right back down. God said, you'll always be on top and you'll never be at the bottom. Never be at the bottom. As a small kid, I used to just wonder why my folks were just, they were just God fanatics. God crazy. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus when the sun go down. Y'all wake up in the morning, we gonna pray. We had Sunday school before Sunday school started. We had to pray every day. And they pray every night. We're at church every time the door opened. But when I look back, you know what I think? And I was thinking about this when we were doing my father's funeral. I said, you know what? We grew up 8 kids in the middle of Fifth Ward. And my father was a barber. We never had the light and utilities cut off. We never missed a meal. We never had a bill collector call the house. We always were on top. And I'm just thinking about it. My father bought his house, paid cash for it, and he was in his 20s. Every time he bought a car, he paid cash for it. And when he passed away, he got houses and land and no bills and no debt. And I said, you know what? We have always been on the top and we've never been on the bottom. Because here was a man that said, I don't care what everyone else do. We're going to be obedient to God. I don't care what anybody else say. We're going to do it God's way. He says, I'm going to follow God no matter what. Anybody can do whatever they want to do with their children. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what you're doing in your house. But as for me and my house, we're going to do it God's way. How can you live in sin when God has cut the cord of the sinful nature out of your life? Paul said, that ain't supposed to happen. God has given us the power to live an obedient and a faithful life to the Lord when he broke the power of sin. Although he gives us his grace when we mess up, his blessings will overtake us when we allow him to be the Lord of our lives in every day, in every way. What about you? Where are you today? Are you still fighting and battling and scraping every day when you get up to live a life of righteousness? You're trying to do it in your own power. Chapter 6 tells us what the machinery is. Chapter 7 will say what the monkey wrench in the machinery is, and that's us trying to live holy in our own power. That's why Paul says, the thing I try to do when I try to do good, evil is always there. When I try to do it in my own power, I want to tell you today, you don't have to live like that. You're living beneath your privilege. God wants you to live a victorious, righteous life. If you're a believer, you don't want to be a defeated believer. You don't want to be one that every day you got to pull into the spiritual emergency room, try to get patched up so you can make it the rest of the day. That's not living good for God. God is looking for some people who are overcomers. God is looking for somebody who's got a testimony. God is looking for somebody who says, come on, you want to look how to walk right? You walk with me. I'll walk right. Come on, we're walking up. We're going to do the same. We're going to walk up right before the Lord. We're going to do it. It's not rocket science. It's just obedience. It's not hard to live right. It's not hard to live holy. You know what's hard? To try to walk on both sides at the same time. That's what's hard. To walk over here a little while and walk over there a little while. It ain't hard to live holy. Am I talking to church folks or not? Oh, we supposed to live holy? Is that news to you? That's why believers aren't making an impact in this world, because the world can't see the difference in the life of a believer. Jesus was the one that said, take the bushel off of your light. Let your light shine that men can see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. If the world look at you and can't tell the difference between you and an unbeliever, that's a problem. I think I can hear the snag. Is my time up? Listen, we're not going to let up. As a pastor, my job assignment is to shepherd as many people into the heaven as I can get there. I'd rather have 100% success. If I got 10 members and we all get to heaven, we did good. If I got 10,000 and ain't but 20 of them go, see, I don't want 10,000 members and 90% of them go to hell because they just come into church. When I get to heaven, I want to see all the members at the light of the world. I don't want to see you in the other line. I don't want to see you in hell's line. I'm going to say, what you doing over there? You're supposed to be over there. I thought you were saved. I'm waving goodbye. Hey, I'm just glad I got in here myself. But that's the way it's going to be. So we don't have time to play. We're not playing church. We're not playing church. This is a godly enterprise. This is a righteous enterprise. This is not a social gathering. This is not a place to just come because you don't have nothing else to do on Sunday morning because you got a couple of friends. We're here to unload hell and load up heaven. That's what we're here to do. And you can't do that by compromising, and you can't do that by acting like we all got it all together when folks are still living like the devil coming to church. There are plenty of places you can go on Sunday morning and be comfortable. But our job is to make us uncomfortable till we get it right. Yes. God is looking for some right living people. Yes. Some holy folk. Yes. He's a holy God. And if you're not holy, you ain't going to make it in. So why go through the motion? No matter where we are in our walk, we can start right now and say, Lord, I know I'm a believer and you broke the power of sin in my life. I've been yielding. I've been allowing the enemy to have influence in my life, and I haven't took a stand. I haven't made a pushback. I haven't made a declaration that you are Lord, and I want you to remain the Lord of my life. Wherever you are, here's the day to say, you know, Pastor, I've been convicted by the word, but I know something changed in my life when I gave my life to Christ. And I don't want to be defeated, and I don't want to just go through the motions. It's between you and God. The good news in chapter 5, verse 20, that grace abounds. Grace increases. God has said, come on, right where you are. I forgive, I wash, and I'm still good. All you have to do is say, Lord, I just ask you to come into my heart and just wash me and cleanse me and purify my heart and mind. And help me, Father, to walk upright before you daily. Some of us have to do it hourly, and some of us minute by minute. It's between you and God. Paul says, shall we keep on sinning? God forbid. By no means. Don't even think about it. That's not the life of a believer. Does it mean you don't sin at all ever? No, it doesn't mean that. John said, if you think you have no sin, you're a lie. But it's not controlling you. It's not dominating you. It's not something that's frequent. It's not something that's continuous, habitual in your life. The Holy Spirit helps us. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life right now to help you. Say, Holy Spirit, I need help. I need your help to be victorious. Paul talks about the spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. Some of us have to go hand-to-hand combat with the things in our lives and say, no, I'm not going to let this thing take control of me. I'm putting on the whole armor of God with the power of God, and we're going to fight this thing tooth and nail. Father, you see our hearts, and you hear the cry of those who are speaking to you, and we ask you to strengthen us and help us and keep us. Fulfill our hearts and our lives so that we are victorious believers in Christ, totally yielded to the power of your Spirit.
We have just celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are people who've never heard the good news that Jesus Christ came to give sinful people a new life and an eternal life. I don't know where you are. You may be just passing through the radio programs, and I want you to know Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. He brought hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, it only takes a moment for you to turn your life and your heart toward Him and ask Him to come into your life to be your Lord and to be your Savior. He will do for you what He's done for many of us. He will change our lives and give us a new start. If you would like to listen to today's message in its entirety, you can do so by going to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily, Jerry G. Martin. You can hear today's message and previous messages that you may have enjoyed, and you can share them with family and friends. I invite you to be our guest at The Light of the World. We meet each Sunday at 16161 Old Humble Road. Come and be our guest, 10 o'clock Sundays at 16161 Old Humble Road. You can join us and enjoy our online service at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. We have the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus where you can get books, Bibles, church supplies, or communion supplies. Call us at The Beacon, 281-441-2885. Again, that's 281-441-2885. Now, for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.